Welcome to the webcast. It's Wednesday, the 30th of January 2019, and my name's Mark Jide, and I'm going to be talking on one of my favourite topics this evening, which is a father to you. It's something, you know, I talk about a lot, and it's really, if you like, it's really the sort of my life message. It's really a significant revelation for me, and it was the revelation that changed everything. And it all started with two little words, which we'll come on to later on in the talk. Many of you will know what they are, but it was just a powerful revelation that came through two little words, and those two little words changed everything. It was actually in Toronto in 2002, when my wife and I went over there for a conference called The Father Loves You. And that's when we came in touch with James and Denise Jordan, Peter Jackson, Jack Frost, and people like that. And the whole week really was just about the Father's love. You know, the Father loves you, and different sessions. And you know, I was lying on the floor one evening, and just there was a Canadian guy who'd been praying for me, and you know, it felt like, you know, he it felt like he was just laying a hand on me very heavily, and I kind of wished he would go away and leave me, because I wanted to sort of hear what God was saying and what God wanted to do in my life. And you know, eventually I just kind of felt like I just need to ask this guy to move. So when I opened my eyes to talk to him, there was actually nobody there, but yet I felt this hand pushing down on me on the floor. And it was at that moment I realized that, you know, God the Father wanted to speak to me. And what he said to me in that moment was, you know, Mark, I want to baptize you in my love. And, you know, I'd gone there with a list of things I wanted him to sort out in my life, and a whole load of things I wanted him to do for me. And I was kind of lying there on the floor expecting him to deal with all of those things. But, you know, that wasn't his agenda. You know, his agenda was to show me and to tell me that what he wanted to do was to pour his love into my heart. And he wasn't actually interested in my list. He wasn't interested in my agenda, but he wanted to do something greater in my heart. And you know what it's like when you got an agenda and something you want God to do, and you know, you're kind of fixated on it, and you kind of feel that he needs to do what is on your list. And I was like that evening, and I was just lying there on the floor saying, you know, that can't be important. What is important is what's on my list. And I don't know if you've ever tried to have an argument or discussion with God, but let me tell you, he normally wins, and it's always a lot easier to give in to him earlier rather than later. So eventually I said to him, okay, Father, you know, whatever you want to do, I will receive it. You know, if you want to pour your love into my heart, if you want to baptize me in love, then I receive that. And really the rest of the week was just a total sort of immersion into the Father's love. And it was great. It was wonderful, and it really was life-changing. And, you know, probably about 6 months later or something, I kind of felt like I knew everything there was to know about the Father's love. I'd listened to a number of James Jordan's tapes. I'd listened to some Jack Frost tapes. And I really thought, I've got it. And then I suddenly realized that actually I didn't have it at all. And, you know, I'd only just got a glimpse of the magnitude of the Father's love. And so for the last, where are we now, nearly 17 years, it's just been growing in that experience of being loved. It's growing in the depth of his love for me. And, you know, I really do believe that we will never fully grasp on this earth, we will never fully grasp how wide and high and deep and long his love is for us. Because if we ever think we've grasped it, you know, if we think we've understood it, all we've done is minimize God to the size of our mind. And of course, he's way, way bigger than that. And, you know, 6 months after this experience in Toronto, I really felt like I knew everything. And it didn't take long, actually, to realize I knew very little. And that's really the thing that, you know, has been the exciting part, is just to discover more and more of his love, to know that he is loving me right now. And, you know, almost to put flesh on it, you know, that he wants to be a father to me right now. Because him being a father to us is a practical expression of his love for us. You know, it's him being a father is that love relationship being worked out. And, you know, I really believe that's what he wants to do for each one of us. I just want to start with a well-known passage from, just a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8, which are very, very familiar for us, but they really do lay a foundation of what I want to say over the rest of this evening. So Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 8. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And there's just a few things I really just like to draw out of those verses. First of all, before the creation of the world, he predestined us to sonship. You know, the relationship he's always wanted with us, the relationship he's wanted with us from before the beginning of the world was for us to be sons and daughters. It was never in his heart for us to be slaves or servants or orphans. You know, that's never been his plan. From before the beginning of the world of time, before time started ticking, he wanted sons. And that's, you know, we really have to keep coming back to this, that this is our eternal destiny and our eternal identity, that there is only, you know, there's only one relationship God has with us, and that's a father to children, a father to son, a father to daughter. You know, no other relationship comes out of his heart. Everything else, you know, every other label, everything else we create is a man-made label. It's a man-made interpretation. It's something we create in our own minds based on our woundedness or our brokenness. But the only relationship God has ever wanted to have with his people is a father relating to his children. So before the beginning of the world, he chose us. He predestined us to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. You know, it was his absolute delight and pleasure to have a family. You know, he wanted a family. It's the longing of a father's heart is to have children. And that same longing is in God the Father's heart. It was his delight. It was his pleasure. It was his will that we would be called sons and daughters. You know, and as sons and daughters, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms. I mean, not just blessed on earth, but blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. You know, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of spiritual blessing. You know, God the Father is wanting to shower upon us every spiritual blessing. You know, not one or two spiritual blessings, but every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, he wants to pour freely upon us as his sons and daughters. And, you know, I really want to sort of lay that foundation that we were chosen, we were predestined to be sons and daughters because God is a father and a father wants children. And his love is expressed in a fatherly way to us, and we receive it as children receive love from a father. So, you know, that's the sort of the foundation. And, you know, I guess I always knew that, you know, in a sense, like many of us have always known it. You know, we know that God is a father, and we know that God wants to bless us because we've read it in scripture, or we were taught it at Sunday school or something. But that is just so limited compared to what we've just read. You know, it's like knowing it is not enough. It's living in the experience of it and living in the freedom of it that is the thing that is just the life-changing revelation. And I think that's what I realized when I was in Toronto 17 years ago, is that what I knew was no longer good enough, because suddenly I'd seen that I could experience and live in everything I'd previously known. And in that week, what happened for me was knowledge was put to one side and experience took over. And, you know, I began to live in the reality of everything I'd learnt about. And, you know, I know for many of us on the webcast, that's been our experience, that suddenly we find that we are living in the experience of what was previously knowledge. And, you know, I don't know how to explain it more than that, other than that it's a life-changing experience. You know, when we suddenly become part of the picture instead of looking at it from a distance, we really realize that it does change everything. And that's what happened for me. And I know that's the thing that has been expanding in my heart over the last few years. And I believe this is a journey that Father takes us on, so that, you know, it's a journey that's a lifelong journey, that we can't get enough of it, because there's always more to receive. There's always more to live in. There's always more to enjoy. And, you know, I just want to encourage you today that wherever you feel you're at on your journey is to really realize that there is always more. There's always more to live in. There's always more to experience. There's always more to enjoy. And there's always more freedom for each one of us. You know, you might feel really free at the moment, but let me tell you, there's more freedom for you. You know, maybe at the moment you can't picture that, you can't comprehend it, you can't see how it could be, but there has to be more freedom. As there's more life for us, there has to be more freedom for us. You see, so that's always been God's heart. It's always been his heart to have sons and daughters. It's always been his heart to be a father to us. See, he tells Jeremiah at the beginning of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:5, that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. See, and that's the same for us. See, it doesn't matter what our earthly history has been. It doesn't matter what our relationship with our earthly parents have been. You know, the truth is, the reality is, the deeper reality is that God the Father knew each one of us before we were created in our mother's womb. And, you know, if we, that then becomes the foundation in our life, you see. Because if we live our life based on our earthly experience, it can be very shallow, it can be very broken, it can be very limiting. It's like building on the sand. You know, however good our family has been, however good our parents have been, if we build our life on that earthly relationship, it can be very shallow. But if we go back a step, and if we see that before we were formed in our mother's womb, God, our Father, knew us, that's a much stronger basis. It's a much stronger foundation upon which we can build our life. You know, he knew. I just want to say that to each one of you, that he knew you. He knew you intimately before you were created in your mother's womb. See, the reason he knew you is because he created you. You know, he designed you, he fashioned you, he put you together. He decided what colour eyes you would have and what colour hair you would have and how tall or how short you would be. You know, it's you know, he has that intimate knowledge of a creator. You know, like an artist knows the picture that they're painting because they're intimately involved in the creation, so God knows us because he intimately created us. Psalm 119, verse 15, David writes, you know, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me have been written in your book before one of them came to be. I mean, that is just so wonderful. God knows. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen on Friday. You know, I know what's in my calendar. I know what appointments I've got, but I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know how conversations are going to go. But God, our Father, he knows every day. You know, all of the days are written in his book because he is our intimate creator. He is our Father who created us. He knew all about us. You see, so whatever our background, whatever our circumstances, we've got a Father who knows us, who intimately creates us and loves us with a perfect love. See, I find this fascinating, that God's plan for Adam and Eve was that they would walk in the garden with him in the cool of the day. You know, he came down to the garden and he walked with them, but his home was in heaven and their home was on earth. And, you know, we know that it all went badly wrong, and we haven't got time to go through that this evening, but we know the story and we know what happened and how Adam and Eve had to leave the garden and how they walked out in their independence and you know, their orphanness, which was finally broken through the coming of Jesus. When Jesus said, you know, I'm not going to leave you as orphans anymore. You know, I've come to you. And, you know, we know the story, but the wonderful thing is that as we are redeemed, we actually have a greater inheritance than Adam and his wife had. See, Adam and his wife enjoyed God coming down to them and being with them, you know, in the cool of the day. But the inheritance that we have is so much greater because we are eternally in Christ. And Christ is in the Father. He is at the Father's side. So, you know, our inheritance, if you like, the relationship that we have been brought into is we've been taken into Jesus's union with his Father. And that's a much greater blessing, a much greater inheritance than Adam and his wife enjoyed. You know, and I just think it's such a beautiful picture of the generosity and the kindness of our Father, that when he redeems us back from our fallen, broken state, he gives us a greater inheritance than the one we lost. That, you know, he doesn't judge us and put us back on a sort of a lower level, but he actually gives us something better than the thing we lost. We are taken into this union with the Father because we are in Christ Jesus. And I just think that's wonderful. And, You know, the more I think about that, the more I dwell on that, I begin to understand what every spiritual blessing is that Paul was talking about in Ephesians. That, you know, this is an incredible blessing to be in union with the Father through Jesus. It's just an amazing gift. It's an amazing inheritance. It's what a lifestyle. It's completely different, I believe, to anything we've experienced before, anything we've been taught, and, you know, anything of traditional Christianity. This goes way, way beyond it. And it's the life that we were born again to lead. See, that's because God is our Father. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 says, He is the Father of our spirits. You know, so it's like, even though we've got earthly parents, even though he's like, he's delegated the sort of parenting to our earthly parents, he is the ultimate Father of who we really are. You know, our spirit or our heart is who we really are. And Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews says that God is the Father of that deep place inside of us. You know, the who you really are, God is the Father of that person. And he's drawing us back through the brokenness and the fallenness of humanity so that we can come back into the relationship that we were always intended to live in. See, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, Jeremiah says, on behalf of the Lord, he says, the Lord appeared to him saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. See, that means that you and I have been loved with all of the love from eternity before Genesis and all of the love to eternity after Revelation. All of that love, you know, all of that love is compressed into our hearts. You see, the everlasting love of the Father is what is poured into our hearts, the substance of that love. You see, there was never a moment when God didn't love you. There was never a time or a season in your life that you were unloved by your Heavenly Father. Whatever you were doing, however you were behaving, whatever you were feeling or thinking, he was still loving you. And that love for you began before eternity. And that love for you will continue into eternity, you know, after Revelation has been fulfilled. See, the everlasting love of the Father is poured into our hearts, you know. And as we've heard many, many times on the webcast, that love is a real substance. You know, it's a tangible substance that is poured into our hearts. He's always loved us. He's always been our Father. And the problem is, you know, as we know, we got lost along the journey. You know, we were stolen. Satan tricked us. He stole us away from God. And he led us into, you know, that pathway of independence, that pathway of rebellion, that pathway of self-sufficiency. You know, that idea that, you know, I can work my life out for myself, that I've got the answers to my problems, that, you know, I think it's Mark Head that says, you know, we've made the gospel, I had a problem that I needed to fix. Whereas the true gospel is we've got a problem that we can't fix. And the only way to fix it is through Jesus. See, and we spent so long, haven't we, trying to fix our own problem, trying to mend our own brokenness, fix our issues. And when we get to the place of actually realizing we can't do it, that is such a freeing place because it opens a door for the Father to step in and begin to transform us with the power of his love. See, sin separated us from him. It caused pain and wounds in our own hearts. And you know, none of us were meant to experience those wounds or those pains or that brokenness. You know, the rejection, the bitterness, the sort of the striving of, it can be very exhausting trying to work it out for yourself and trying to be self-sufficient in every way. You know, and that's not the way we were meant to live. And, you know, we've lived like that because somehow we were tricked, we were trapped, and we stepped outside of perfect love. And what God the Father is doing is, through Jesus, he's redeeming us back so that we can live in the central place of being loved, in the central place of being held in his arms, in the central place of knowing that it is okay, that we belong. And, you know, the striving can cease, the restlessness can cease. Yeah, he heals our brokenness. He fixes the things that we've been unable to fix. He, instead of that sort of fear that drives us so much, we become content, because when fear goes, there's a contentedness that comes into our hearts. And suddenly we begin to realize that our whole life is changing and being transformed. And, you know, actually, we're just taking the first few steps of living as Jesus lived. There's many, many more steps we can take along that pathway, but we take the first few steps of living and walking as Jesus lived. And you see, what we've lived in, there's been a conflict in our hearts, in our lives, between who God is and who he wants to be, and who we let him be. You see, because of, for so many reasons, you know, the brokenness, the pain, the religion, the rules and regulations that we've created, we've created a picture of what we think we want God to be to us. And once we've created this picture of what we think we want him to be, we then try and live according to that way. But that is such a conflict. It's such an opposing view of who he really is and who he wants to be to us. See, and it's like, you know, we're going off in one direction trying to pursue this idea of what we think God is like, and therefore how we think we need to relate to him and how we need to behave. And we go off this one direction, and we're so focused on this direction that we miss what God is really like, and we miss who he wants to be to us. But when we have an encounter with the love of the Father, you know, we are slowly turned, or quickly turned, we are turned, and we can let go of our own view, our own creation, our own idea, and we begin to see and understand who God really is. And as we see who he is, as we begin to see that he's a Father, we begin to receive his love into our hearts. And as his love is poured into our hearts, it's the thing that transforms us. And as his love comes into our hearts, we know who he is, we begin to know who we really are. See, when we know that God is our Father, we know that we're his sons or daughters. See, we can't really truly know that we are sons and daughters if we haven't received his love into our hearts. See, otherwise it's a theory, it's a concept. But as we allow him to pour his love into our hearts, we begin to understand who we really are. We begin to understand that we're sons and daughters. See, fathering is very, very personal. It's a personal relationship, you know. And yeah, many of us may have had a father who was distant, angry, manipulative, controlling, maybe absent, maybe not there for whatever reason. And we kind of think, we look at God through a filter, and we think that's what God's like. But of course, you know, God is not like any of that, because God is the perfect Father. And his fathering is personal, it's active, it's ongoing. You know, many of you will have heard a story I've told of one time I went to a church and I was talking to the pastor, and there was this young guy in their town he'd fathered 16 children with different girls, different mums, and he wasn't interested in having a relationship with any of those 16 children. You know, he just wanted to do his stuff and then, you know, move on. And yeah, as those kids grow up, they could say to their mum, "Hey, mum, you know, who is my dad?" And the mother would be able to say, "It's so-and-so," and put a name on it. But, you know, all that is doing, it's describing a biological relationship. It might describe a legal relationship, but it's not describing the relationship a father should have with his children. Because the relationship a father should have is to be there, is to be involved, is to be loving, is to be encouraging and supportive and guiding and comforting and helping and, you know, all of those things. And, you know, this guy, he just didn't want that. He just abdicated all of that responsibility and moved on to the next one night stand. But, you know, maybe in part, that's kind of the picture we create of God, that he's not really interested in us. He's kind of, okay, we've been born again and he'll meet us at the gates of heaven, but on a day-to-day basis, he's not really that bothered. See, that's just such the wrong picture, because not only is he bothered, but he loves us and he wants to be involved in every single area of our life. And he wants us to know and experience his fathering in a very active way. You know, one of the things I do at schools is I show that little video of Derek Redmond, the British athlete who was running a race and his hamstring went in the middle of the race. And he gets up and he wants to hobble on to the finishing line. And as he's hobbling along in great pain, we see this older man come out from the stands and come up to him, put his arm around him, and they do it together. And of course, the older guy is his father. And, you know, just a beautiful picture of a father being there for his son. And that's what God is. He wants to be there for us on a day-to-day basis. He wants to call us into the shelter of his wings so that we are protected and surrounded by his love. You know, he wants to care for us. He wants to nurture us. He wants to lead us in his ways. He wants to show us his heart. You see, he doesn't want to give us a rule book. He doesn't want to give us the instruction manual. But he wants to open his heart to us so that we see his ways. You know, that was the experience Moses had. You know, Moses starts off by saying, "Oh, teach me your ways." But a few verses later, he's saying, "Oh, it's all about your presence. You know, if your presence doesn't go, then I don't want to go." See, what Moses suddenly realized was it's not about the rule book. It's not about having knowledge about what God's ways are, but it's seeing into God's heart and understanding God at a heart level. Because that's how he understands us. And as we do, we will want to do his ways. We will want to walk in his ways because it will be life to us. You know, why wouldn't we want to do that? Here we've been offered the path of life, the freedom and rest and peace. You know, why wouldn't we want to walk in his ways? You know, and when we see into his heart and see what his ways are, everything inside of us will say, "Yeah, this is what I want. You know, I want to walk in his ways." And see, that's the relationship God wants to have us. Is he wants us to know that he is a father to us and that we are his sons and daughters. You see, in John 1 verse 12, he says, "To all those who believed and who received him, he gave the right to become children of God." See, the sad thing, I think, many people, you know, we've been given the right, but many people don't take up the right. You know, we have the right to do many things, but do we take up the right? Do we live in the fullness of what we've been given? And, you know, John says that here, he says, you know, those who believe, those who've received him, they've been given the right to be called children of God. And yet many, many people don't take up that right, and they don't live as children of God. They continue to live in their orphan-hearted ways. But the truth is, the reality is for us that we are called children of God, because that is who we are. You know, Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14 says we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, when we become a Christian, we've got a lot of baggage. And the beautiful thing is, you know, God doesn't mind. You know, he accepts us, baggage and all. But as we go on with him, that baggage begins to fall away, and we begin to walk in a greater level of freedom, because we've discovered who he is. See, I believe you can go into any church in any of our countries and you can ask a question, is God a father? And everybody will say, yeah, of course he is. See, but the question you've asked is God a father? And everybody will answer that because they know the scriptures. They were taught it in Sunday school. They've sung songs about it. And yes, they know that God is a father. They might even say that God is the father of Jesus. But if you ask them more specifically, do you know that God is your father? That's kind of when you get people looking at you going like, what? You know, what are you talking about? How can that be? That's not possible. But that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. See, that guy I was telling you about, he was the father of at least 16 children. But he was the father to none of them. And there's a huge difference between being the father of someone and being a father to someone. See, I am the father of my four children. I hope I have been a father to them. You know, they're all grown up and now, but they still, you know, they still call on us. They still call on me. They still ask me questions. They still ask me advice. They may not do what I suggest. That's fine. That's their freedom. But, you know, I am a father of them, but I hope I've been more than that. I hope I've been a father to them. You see, and when people think of God, what they think is, yes, God is a father. You know, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Yeah, he is a father. But that is not the same as, is he your father? Is he a father to you? And I said at the beginning, there were two little words that really changed my understanding of who God is. And it's those two little words, to you. Because I'd read, it's 2 Corinthians 6:18. You know, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, I will be a father to you. Now, I'd read that verse many, many times. But when I was in Toronto that week in 2002, what I heard was those two words. You know, I will be a father to you. And I can't say it any more than this, but those two little words changed my life, because suddenly the reality of heaven came into my heart, and I knew that God was not only a father, but he was a father to me. And I believe over the last 17 years I've been growing in that relationship. I'm able to trust it more. I'm going to Uganda in March, and the place where I'm going to, there's been a little bit of trouble recently. There's been an armed gang around and a bit of unrest. And I was talking to Ingrid today, who's out there in Uganda, and she said, Mark, do you have peace about coming? And, you know, I have to admit that I've been through the, you know, I've had to ask that question, because, you know, it's I've never had any problem before. I've always gone in peace, and I've, you know, I enjoy going. And you know, I've had to deal with the fear in my heart about it. And I was able to say to Ingrid, you know, yes, I do have peace, because I know that my father is with me. You know, and I'm just going to trust, and I'm going to rest in God being a father to me. And, you know, I really believe, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago, that fear might have got more of a hold of me. And it might have been more challenging. But, you know, I feel a bit laid back about it. Because, not that I'm being stupid or anything, but because I'm trusting my Father. And, see, this is the journey that we're on. That as we allow God to be a Father to us, it brings us into a greater level of peace and security. And, you know, even though we don't know what might go on or what might happen, we can trust him because he's a good Father and he's loving us right now. And you see, those two words, they to you, a Father to you, it's so much more than God just being your Father. It's that living, active, ongoing relationship where we're receiving his fathering. You see, God's not changed. You know, we have a revelation of him. He hasn't changed. We've changed. You know, God's always been a father. He wanted, from before the beginning of time, he wanted us to be sons and daughters. His love for us is not in question, but it's our ability to receive that love. And what we, as we realize that God is being a father to us, what we're doing is we're opening our heart to receive that love. And, you know, he's not changing. He's not suddenly deciding, okay, I'll become a father to Mark now because he's seeing something. You know, he's always been a father to me, but I'm able to receive it more because the eyes of my heart are opened to see who he really is. And I just want to close really just by praying and just asking God, our real Father, to come and be a father to us. See, the power of those words changed my life 17 years ago. I will be a father to you. But one of the things I regularly pray these days, and I keep praying it, is, oh, Father, come and be a father to me. So even in this situation, thinking about Uganda and just thinking about it a little bit, and a little bit of fear gets hold of me, and I think, Father, right now in this moment, will you father me through this fear? You know, will you be a father to me right now? So that even though there's that little bit of doubt, that little bit of fear, I can trust you. You see, we can keep coming back to those words time and time again. It's not a one-off experience. It's not a conference. It's not a webcast. It's not a weekend. It's a lifelong journey of allowing him to be a father to you. And so let me just finish by praying and asking him just to open the eyes of our heart so that we can receive his fathering in a greater way. So, Father, we thank you that you are a father. Thank you that from before the beginning of time, you predestined us to be sons, to be daughters, for your pleasure, your delight and your will. Father, you wanted a family simply because you're a father. And the only relationship that you have with us is to be a father to us. And that means that the only relationship we have with you is to be sons and daughters to you. And so, Father, may those two little words change our life this evening, today. Father, may those words to you radically change us. May they change everything in our hearts, in our lives, in our experience of you. Father, come and be a father to us, to each one of us. Father, even if we've had a revelation of you being father, we've had a revelation and experience of your love, come and father us right now. Be a father to us. Take us deeper into that relationship. Open the door to more of who you are, who we are. Father, that we would climb on your knee as little children sit on their dad's knee. And just as the little child allows himself to be embraced by his dad, May we allow ourselves to be embraced by our perfect Father and held in the arms of perfect love. Thank you, Father, that you're loving us now. And thank you that your love for us never changes. Your love for us is never in doubt. But may you increase our ability to receive it, live in it, and experience it. And Father, may these two little words to you, to us, to me, may they have a powerful effect on our lives.